Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We praise God for being here once again. In Jesus' name, amen. We praise God, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We praise God again for you listening to the show on today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. I praise God for being here. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. In Jesus' name, no, it's not my mom or my dad or my wife or my children or Bishop Cook, but God is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to my pastor and first lady, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor William Tuggle and first lady Cosette Tuggle. Amen. And giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, in Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle Cook, amen. The watchman on the wall for the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, in Jesus' name. And all of the Spirit Alive family in their respective places, amen. And last but certainly not least, I want to give honor to my wife and my children on today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a very, very special day. And you might say, well, do you got something going on, Minister Tuggle? Is it special because you got something going on or anything? Yeah, I got stuff going on. Yeah, I got some good stuff going on today. But that's not the main reason why it's special, because it's not about me. But it's special today because we are talking about the Lord's word on today. That's why it's special. Another day to talk about the name of Jesus. Another day to give him glory. Another day to give him praise. So I say this, as I say in every show, if you're living on today, you are blessed. Not because of me, not because of anything I say, because my words, my righteousness are as filthy rags. But you're blessed because if you are in the land of the living, you are blessed, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Today, the Lord has commissioned me to talk about, as we see on the news, what's going on in Israel and the various things that are going on around us in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We see it on the news all the time. We see various things happening in the world. We see it all the time. We hear about it. We hear about it through conversations, but we just don't, some of us that hear it, we don't some of us don't know why the chaos is going on. Well, I'm here to tell you today. I'm here to let you know why the chaos in Israel, why the war is happening in Israel, why we are seeing what we're seeing. And it's one simple thing, and that is because the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is right at hand. These are signs of the coming of the Lord. And when we look in the Word of God, we can see through the Word of God that the Lord has given us an outline to know, not to know when he's coming, but to know that he's coming. Amen. There's a big difference, because some people in the world have tried to predict the coming of the Lord, and they're not able to do it. Because the Lord tells us that, hey, and I'm, you know, paraphrasing, don't nobody know when I'm coming. Nobody knows when the Lord is coming back. And this is to give you an example of how we don't know, because in the church world, we have heard through years, we've heard, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. I know I've heard it throughout my years of walking with the Lord, and throughout my years of being a child, being a pew baby, because I was raised in church. I've heard it all my life. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back, and he ain't came yet. But I do know that he is coming because of the signs of the time. The signs of the time show us that the Lord is soon to come. And we've heard this. I know you've heard this in church services, and you've heard this throughout your life. Maybe you've heard this through family members, and family members is ones that go to church, and the ones that are saved might say, well, you know, the Lord's coming back. You need to get your life together because, you know, the Lord's coming back. Well, this is true. And we've done shows on this very topic, the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. Now, let me break this down before I get any deeper into this. The word rapture is not found or recorded in the Word of God. The word rapture. But the word rapture means the catching away of the church. And we do have scripture to show us the catching away, that the Lord will come again and take his church out of here. Now, we do have scripture of the catching away of the church. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the catching away of the saints is recorded in the Bible, which means the word rapture. Now, a whole lot of people, thousands and thousands and millions upon millions upon billions of people in this world that tend to think that the Lord will accept just anything. And he won't. And we have Bible proof that he will not just accept just anything when it comes to him, even coming back for his church. He is not just accepting just anybody. You have to be, I saw a thing on Facebook. I saw a post on Facebook. Heaven is prepared for prepared people. That's what the post said. Heaven is prepared for a prepared people. If you're not prepared for heaven, don't expect to go when the time comes. If you're not prepared. This right here, the dispensation that we live in right now, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of grace is the time period of God's grace being shown on the world for people to get themselves together for the coming of the Lord. Now, this dispensation that we are living up under will not last forever, because we are living in the last church age, which is the Laodicean era. In that age of the church, because there's seven churches recorded in the Bible in the book of Revelation. One of the churches that was recorded in the Bible was the Church of Philadelphia. That was the church that was the glorious church. And like I said, we have the Church of Laodicea. This is the lukewarm church. And this is the church era that we are living in now. This lukewarm era is not just lukewarm in the church, it's lukewarm in the world, because the world does not want to take heed to the signs of the times. And the church, the lukewarm church, is not taking heed to the signs of the times. The signs of the times are to tell the people of God, hey, look, I'm coming. Don't let your heart be troubled by what you see around you. Just know that these signs that you see is the signs that I'm coming back again. You are living, and this is why I tell people, don't take grace for granted. When you sit there and you see the signs of the times and you don't get your house in order, you are taking for granted the dispensation of grace. It's just like a person that wants to be married. Person that wants to be married, they're living in their singleness and they're tired of living lonely. They want companionship. That is a time for that single person to work on their self before they step into a marriage. That time of singleness is a time for you to get yourself together, to get yourself mentally ready for marriage, to get yourself physically ready for marriage, to get yourself financially ready for marriage. That single time, that singleness is a time for you to get yourself together. The dispensation of grace is the same way. You might say, well, how is it the same way? When this dispensation of grace is not to be taken for granted, just like your singleness is not to be taken for granted. Your singleness is time for you to get yourself together so you can get yourself together for marriage. Well, the dispensation of grace is a time for you to get yourself together for the rapture of the church. It's a time to get yourself together spiritually. It's time for you to get your house in order. And a whole lot of people take the dispensation of grace for granted. So we're going to look in Scripture, and we're going to look and see, is it really real? Is the coming of the Lord real? Because I've watched Facebook videos, and I've seen on TikTok and on YouTube that some people just don't believe that the next greatest event is going to take place. Now, it's a great event for the people of God that have made themselves ready. The next greatest event is the rapture of the church. It won't be the greatest event for people that are not ready, because 1 minute after the rapture, even a second after the rapture, the tribulation period starts. and the tribulation. We're not going to get too deep into the tribulation, but the tribulation is for the people. It's actually, the tribulation period was actually for the Jews, which is another word for Jacob's trouble. This tribulation period was actually made for the Jews, but since it's because his own, which was Jews, received him not. There are still some Jews that are waiting on the Messiah, and the Messiah has come and gone over 2,000 years ago. And there are some Jews that are still waiting on the Messiah to come. They don't believe that Jesus was the true Messiah. And this is biblical fact. Even though Israel is God's chosen people, and I said this last Monday during our prayer on our prayer for Israel. Israel is God's time clock. Whatever happens to Israel, you can rest assured that God's coming is sooner than you think it is. When you see Israel at the forefront of news, you can rest assured that God's coming is quicker. God's coming is sooner than you think. Anytime you see Israel at the forefront of a newscast or anything, paper, I know nobody hardly reads a paper anymore, but a magazine, whatever, peace trees, the coming of the Lord is right in hand. Israel is God's time clock. And I say this, if you help Israel or you're in support of Israel, you will be blessed. Because that's God's chosen people. But we're going to go to scripture real quick. I want you to see this in the scriptures about the coming of the Lord. Because I don't want you to, Minister Tuggle, you're talking good, but where's the scripture? So I'm gonna give you some scripture on this because I want you to understand what thus saith the Lord. Amen. This is not from Minister Adam Tuggle's word. This is the word of God. And I want to keep it that way. This is what God has established us as people of God to do. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start at verse number 4. I'm going to read down to verse 14. And then we're going to go to St. John chapter 14. Amen. St. John chapter 14. Verses 1-3. This will break down what we're talking about today, the start of it. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, we're starting at verse number 4. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse number 4. It reads, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must, that's the key word, all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Why is the end not yet? Verse number 7 reveals why the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. This is just the beginning of sorrow. When we hear about wars, now, if we look at history, world history, I'm not just talking about American history, but world history, we see the spirit of war throughout the world. We see it right now with Israel. I remember throughout my childhood various wars that I've heard about and have seen throughout my almost 36 years of life. My grandfather, both of my grandfathers were veterans of the Vietnam War. I had a father, my father was in the military during Desert Storm. That was a war. Had a brother who went to my former church that was in active duty during the Iraqi War. These are various wars that, just a couple of wars that I know of. And this is what the Bible tells us. I'm just giving you some examples of the Bible coming to light. This Bible, this biblical prophecy that's taking place, or that has taken place, or that will take place. Amen? It says, in kingdoms against kingdoms, we see Russia fighting for position. We see China fighting for position. These are nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Now, I'm not saying China and Russia are fighting against each other, but these are nations if it's Russia going against somebody or China going against somebody or whatever, America going up against somebody. These are nations and these are kingdoms in the eyesight of God. Kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famines. We see famines all the time, even in our local neighborhoods, our local communities. Food deserts. These are famines. These are what considered as famines. Amen. We got people out there that are homeless. We got the homelessness is crazy here in America. Kids going to school only get one meal a day because they only get their meal at school. These are considered as famines. Pestilence. What are pestilence? Pestilence are considered. We just came out of a pestilence. COVID-19. The Ebola crisis. These are pestilence. These are considered as pestilence. I'm just giving you an outline. A visual aid on what this biblical prophecy is to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Earthquakes in diverse places. Good Lord, we see earthquakes. We hear about earthquakes. We really don't get them here in Indiana. But I know in places like California, on the West Coast, I know, Jesus. They're getting earthquakes in places the seasons are changing. They're getting snow in Texas. Whoever thought that they would get snow in Texas? These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. amen, where, well, we're getting 90-degree weather here in Indiana, 90 to 100-degree weather. There was a time, I remember one winter, it was almost close to the end of November and the beginning of December, and we still hadn't had any snow. And it went all the way to the middle of December, still didn't hardly have any snow. It was hot. It kept being in the 80s and the 90s. You don't get that here in Indiana in December. I'm just giving you a visual aid. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Amen. All these are the beginning of sorrow. This is just the beginning, the Bible says. What we're seeing right now, the murdering and the killings and the kidnappings and all of this stuff that's going on. It's just the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall be killed, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. There are people that are dying for the name of Jesus. There are people that are demonically possessed. I literally have seen a great example, the Columbine shooting. Back in the Columbine shooting, there was a young lady that got killed for representing the name of Jesus. God said, "Well, hey, look, do you denounce God?" And I'm paraphrasing. Do you denounce God? She said, "No, he shot her." There are people that are in foreign countries that are doing getting this treatment. This is biblical sound doctrine, prophecy coming to pass. Then shall many be offended. There are many people that get offended by the name of Jesus. We see it all the time. And then shall many people be, like, they're going to get killed for my sake, and many people shall be offended. There are many people that get offended by the word of God. They think that they're taking a shot at them. No, that's your sinful nature that's getting a shot at, and your flesh don't like it. This is what we're seeing today. This is the beginning of sorrow. Look, this is not my word. I'm giving you an outline. When people hate you because you love the name of Jesus, this is an outline. I'm just giving you a visual aid of what the coming of the Lord is. We are living in a day and time. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Amen. It says, and shall betray one another. We see that all the time. And shall hate one another. We see this through family members. I had a friend of mine tragically lose their life, and a family member took their life. All because they was arguing. They didn't like what was said. That family member didn't like what my friend was saying, and they killed him. A heated argument got turned into, this is what we are seeing in today's time. Mothers against fathers. Mothers, sons against fathers. Mothers and daughters are warring against each other. husband and wives warring against each other. This is serious. These are signs of the coming of the Lord. And many false prophets shall rise. We see that now. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse 11. This is what we are seeing. We see it on the TV. We see it in our local ministries. We see people preaching for financial gain. We see people prophesying. This is what the beginning, this is the signs of the coming of the Lord. Verse number 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love is gone for people. We got more people hating people than we do people loving people. We do. We got a lot of people hating people for no reason. Ain't even done nothing to them. Innocent bystanders. Anytime they got hate, anytime a person has hate in their heart, you got to have hate in you for a person to go. We see it all the time on the news. We see some person going inside a mall or a school and start shooting up a school full of kids. That's the love of many waxing cold. Who would ever thought back in the early 90s that just a person would walk inside a school and start shooting people up in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 60s? Who would ever thought just walk inside a school? And it don't even matter. The person doing it don't care about race, color, nor creed. I don't care. They about to die. All because I hate. They ain't do nothing to me. This person is an adult. And he walk inside a mall or a school and just start shooting people. Don't even know him. They don't even know him. They don't know the child. They don't know the adults. They just, whatever. We see the suicide rate going up because people are not, they hate their self. They hate their life, so they try to end their life. We see the suicide rate. We see depression. They don't like who they are. They don't like what they've become. They don't like their life. And we see this. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, why is there so much devastation in the world? This is the reason, because the end is coming. The end is coming. The rapture is soon to happen. Amen. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What does this mean? This means that those that endure with Christ, those that keep their relationship with Christ, those that have him on the inside shall be saved from this, shall be saved from the devastation. Not saying that you won't be persecuted. Not saying that you won't have problems in your life once you get saved, because some people think when they get saved, they won't have any more problems, that they'll have a life of a flower bed of ease. No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is you'll be able to go through your problems with a godly mindset. And there's some people that go through problems and they losing their minds and they going crazy and they doing crazy stuff because they done lost their mind over the stuff that they done been through, whether it be hurt, abuse, a rejection, whatever it might be. They done lost their mind. And now we have gotten to the place where where society has told us we have to be this certain, we have to be at this certain caliber to be this certain type of person. No, you ain't got to be at that certain caliber. You got to do this to get there. No, the only thing you got to do is have a great relationship with God. You have to be in Christ, because a whole lot of people are banking on this world. They're putting their treasures in this world, but you can't hold your treasures on this in this world. But you got to put your eyes on things above. Your final destination does not stop here. That is not the destiny that God has designed for us. And I'm going to show it to you. This is not that we stay down here. And I heard a Jehovah Witness say, I had a Jehovah Witness come to me one time, and I'm not knocking Jehovah Witnesses, because that's what they believe. But I had a Jehovah Witness try to tell me I was working at a store, and I was a manager of a store one time, and they came in the store and was buying stuff, but they were trying to call themselves witnessing to one of my employees that was underneath me, and the employee came and got me and was like, well, this person is actually bothering me because I'm trying to ring them out. And, you know, I don't know the Bible that well, but they keep pressuring me. And I said, well, I'll be up there. And so I went on up there and talked to the young lady. And the young lady started trying to tell me. I was like, okay, all right. So I started listening. You know, I listened to her, and she said, do you know who Jehovah is? And I said, yeah, I know who Jehovah is. I know exactly who he is. I said, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. He's peace in the midst of a storm. That's who he is. And he said, and the lady said, oh, you sound like you know who Jehovah is. Yep, I know who he is. His name is Jesus. He said, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, his mind stayed upon him. That's who Jehovah is. Jehovah is Jesus. You want to break it down, the Jehovah, because I went in and I started naming off the Jehovahistic names that are given to God. Who is Jesus? And she, as soon as I said Jehovah is Jesus, she flipped. And she said, oh, no, that's not it. Jehovah is Jehovah. Jehovah's not Jesus. Well, show me in the Bible where Jehovah's not Jesus. And she started flipping through her Bible and started showing me scriptures, and then I started showing her. Because she started talking about, well, you know, when Jehovah chooses to, Jehovah's going to come and get 144,000 people, and then the rest of us that are left here are going to be on the new earth. I said, but what if I want to go to heaven? I said, in my Bible, it says that in heaven, I got a new body waiting for me. And I used it. I sure did. I used wisdom. I used my disability. I sure did. I said, down here, I have a disability. I got sicknesses. I got pains and everything else. I am not about to stay here when I have a ticket, when I can punch in my ticket to go to heaven. When Jesus has punched in my ticket, only thing I got to do is receive it and live right, and I get to go to heaven. I get to have a new body. This body is filled with no sicknesses, no pain. I ain't got to pay no bills. What? I'm just adding. It don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense. I said, tell me, how does that make any sense? I get streets that are paved with gold. I don't have to stay down here and look at no brick and mortar streets that are messed up half the time. And you want me to stay down here when I got streets that are paved with gold? I got a mansion waiting for me. I got a crown waiting for me that I'm going to give back to God. I got rewards waiting on me. I got a body that I will never get tired waiting on me. And you think I'm going to stay? No. And this lady tried to convince me. She could not convince me. I said, well, I'm disabled. Look, I don't want to be disabled all my natural life and then all my spiritual life. I ain't trying. No. Ain't no way in the world. That's just, that would be stupid of me. That would be dumb of me, not you, me. If I want to choose to stay here, and I got a front row seat in heaven, and the Lord has promised me a body with no pain, no disability, no nothing. I can praise the Lord all day long and not get tired. I can have church all day long. Every day will be Sunday. I get to worship God all day if I want to. I get to walk around heaven. And the only thing I got to do, there's only two requirements that I got to do, is receive the Holy Ghost, receive His Spirit, and live right. That's all I got to do. He made it very easy and very plain. All I got to do is that. And then once He comes for me, whether it be by the grave or by the rapture, I get to go with Him. I don't have to stay down here and with no bills or nothing. And I started asking Him, well, in this new earth, do I still got to pay bills? I'm just asking. Do I still got to pay bills? Because if I got to pay some bills, I ain't trying to stay. I'm sorry. Might seem funny, but I'm serious. Look, I got a free mansion in heaven I ain't paid for, that the Lord paid for Himself with the shedding of His blood. He gave it to me because I chose to receive His Spirit and live right. That's all I got to do. No other requirements. In living right, I gotta do whatever he wants me to do. That's it. That's simple. That's easy. Okay. I gotta give my life over to Him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that's just my reasonable service. It's something reasonable. Receive His Spirit and live right. That's reasonable. Okay. And I get in heaven? Yeah. No. We ain't doing that. We ain't about to stay here. Amen. But these are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And this is what we're doing here on the Spirit Alive Network. This is what we do. This is why we preach so hard, because it tells us in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 24, it tells us, and this gospel, the word of God. The Bible says, if any man preach any other gospel, then what we have said unto you, let him be accursed. Which means when he was talking about in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That's that other gospel. When you saying, nah, that ain't real. You cursed. If you preaching something else, that's why I said you cannot. Anytime there's two things that causes a problem in the body of Christ when you preach falseness, and you preaching when you try to mix the world with the gospel. And when you do that, you're polluting the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you take a little bit of the world and you take a little bit of the gospel and you try to put it together. Do you know what that word? Do you know, there's a word for that, and it's called profane. It's called profane. That's not the true gospel. It's the opposite of the gospel. It looks like the gospel. It sounds like the gospel, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And this is what's going on before the coming of the Lord, because the devil is trying to deceive many before the coming. He wants as many souls lost as he can get. The devil is shrewd. The devil is a con artist. And as many souls as he can get, he'll take. As many. That's why it said in the book of Jude, certain men have crept in unaware. That's what it talks about in verse 11, the false prophets. Somewhere in there, they lost their zeal with God. They working, but they were fired. I heard a preacher say one time, you know what? You can be fired. You can work for God and be fired and not even know it. You can be fired and still work for God and not even know you fired. When you lose your zeal, when you've lost that the Spirit of God, when you go and do things for vainglory, when you're using profane words and you go and you preach profane gospel, because that's what it is. When you go and you talk about the gospel, but you're only using it and you're itching the ears of the people. You're preaching stuff that only please the flesh. But that's what we're seeing today. You're only prophesying about cars, money, and clothes. That's what you're only preaching about. Oh, you'll have a better life once you give to God. God will bless you with that business. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, because God wants you to prosper in this world. But he said in the gospel, he said in the word of God, you will prosper as your soul prospers. If your soul's not prospering, then you're really not prospering at all. You're really not a prosperous person. Prosperity, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I know I'm off topic because I know we talk about the coming of the Lord, but this is in it. When you talk about prosperity, it is not about cars and clothes in the eyesight of God. It's not about that next business. It's not. Now, that's good. That's the icing on the cake of prosperity. Maybe we need to teach on that, prosperity, what true prosperity is. True prosperity is found in the spirit, not in the things of this world. Just because somebody got a business, just because somebody's got a good job, does not mean that they're prosperous. I see a lot of rich folks prospering in the natural, but really messed up in the spirit. They messed up. They confused in the spirit. I want to take you to, because I said in John chapter, let's go to John, St. John chapter, St. John chapter 14, because I want to show you that the Lord is coming. Now, we've seen the signs of his coming, but I want you to see, I want to read to you the promise of his coming. Because there's the signs of his coming, and there's a promise of his coming, and then there's the Lord actually coming. Amen? The actual sight of his coming. Amen? There are three areas of the rapture. There are the signs of his coming, the promise of his coming, and the actual visual of his coming that are recorded in the Word of God. Now, we've already seen the signs of, we've already read about the signs of his coming. Now, we're going to look at the promise of his coming. Amen. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Amen. This is the promise of his coming. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said this in Matthew. Don't let your heart be troubled. He's done told us this throughout the Word of God. Don't let your soul, don't let nothing be troubled. Which means don't get worried. Don't get worried. Amen. In the signs of his coming, he was telling us not to be troubled of the signs that we see, that what we see around us. Don't get worried about what you see around you, because these are just the signs of my coming. Now watch this. In the promise of his coming, when he talks about promising to come and get us, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't get worried, because you might say, well, the reason why he said don't let your heart be troubled is because, and this is what the Lord is giving me right now, because we've heard it throughout the generation, the Lord is coming, but the Lord ain't came yet. The Lord hasn't come. And some people might be weary in their well-doing, but the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. In your well-doing, be not weary. Why? Because in your well-doing, I'm coming again. Don't get deceived. Why? Because he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this is the promise of his coming, right here in verse number two. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Watch this. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this is the promise of him. This is him telling us he's prepared a place. I go to prepare a place for you. Why is he going to prepare a place for me? In verse number three, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the promise of God. He has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. That's the coming of the Lord. Amen. He's done prepared a place for us. Now, that's the promise of his coming. I said, There's three parts of the rapture of the church, of his coming, of the coming of Christ. The signs of his coming, the promise of his coming, and the visual aid, the visual of his coming. Amen? We read the signs of his coming in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14. The promise of his coming is in St. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Now, let's look at the visual of his coming, when he actually comes, what's going to take place, the visual of his coming. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Let's go there real quick, because I want you to see this, the visual aid, what's going to take place when he comes. This is the visual of his coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. I'm going to start at verse, wait a minute. Okay. I'm going to start I'm going to start at verse 51. I was going to do start at verse 50, but I'm not going to do that. Verse 51 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Right here it shows us in verse 51 and 52, this is showing us and in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, it talks about the coming of the Lord. Amen. These are scriptures that are showing us, hey, I'm coming. This is what it's going to look like. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be risen incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I want to do this. Matter of fact, I want to say this. I believe that nobody wants to go to hell. And if a person does, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. I just don't know. I don't know what to say. But I want to show you along with 1 Corinthians, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because this goes into a big visual of the Lord's coming. This is the visual of the Lord's coming. This is what the people are going to see. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 16 and 17. Let's go there real quick because I want to show you this. As I said before, this is the visual of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And it reads, starting at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse, I'm going to start at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, I want to stop right there real quick. In 1 Corinthians, it talked about the trump, the last trump. These two scriptures coincide with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, 16 and 17. Amen. These all coincide with each other. Amen. Now, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. This, verse 17, is the rapture of the church. This will be the visual. This will be the visual. But like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 said, I believe it's verse 52, it said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so fast. It's going to happen. This right here in verse 17, well, verse 16 and verse 17, it's going to happen so quick. You won't be even able. It said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know how quick a twinkling of an eye is? Amen. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. I told you, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but we have the signs. We have the word of God to give us what the rapture is going to look like, the visual aid of its coming. This is the visual aid in verse 16 and 17. That's the visual aid. The ones that are deceased relatives that are in Christ, yeah, they're coming up out the grave. They're coming up out the grave. And they're going up first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them together in the clouds. And it's going to happen so fast.
Amen.
That's why we will not be able to repent right then and there. That's why it's very vital for you to repent now, then later. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'd rather bow now than to bow later.
Preach.
Because every knee going to bow, but it ain't saying that everybody's going to bow right then and there. It just said every knee is going to bow. Even Satan going to bow. At the end of it all, Satan going to bow. Satan himself, the devil himself is going to bow. Every politician, every person you know, every atheist, every non-believer, every believer, everybody on the face of this world, past, present, or future, is going to bow before the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But it did not give specification of when or how they're going to bow, but they're going to bow. But we have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, watch this. You might say, well, is it only found in Matthew and John and 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians about the rapture? Nope, it's not. He also talks about him coming in the book of Revelations. The book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 and 12. I'm going to read it to you. Just so you get a good understanding. Amen. And I want you to focus on verse number 12. And I'm going to read verse number 7. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7. It says, behold, I come quickly. That just shows us that the coming of the Lord is going to happen fast. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Verse 52 said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. now he's saying in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7, he says, behold, I come quickly. This will not be a slow process. That's why it's good for us to have our house together, our house in order. Now, I'm not talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about having your soul right with God now. This is why I said earlier, do not take the dispensation of grace for granted. That's the dispensation that we are living in. We are living in the dispensation of grace. A whole lot of people like to talk about grace. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. Yes, you are under grace, but you are taking, when you go out and you do anything you big and bad enough to do, you are taking the dispensation of grace for granted. When you live any kind of way, when you don't want to do what God tells you to do, when you don't want to live the way God tells you to live, that goes for both areas, whether you in the church or out of the church. You are taking the grace of God for granted. And it's very detrimental for a person to take the grace of God for granted. Well, a preacher says, well, you're covered by grace, and it don't take all that, and you can do this, and you can do that. You a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. Once saved, always saved. The devil is a lie. The only way you once saved, always saved is if you live right after you have received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and you're doing everything you can to live right. That's once saved, always saved. It ain't once saved, always saved if you get saved and then you live in any kind of way. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that God does not just accept just anything. In any order of his kingdom, in any order of righteousness, he does not just accept just anything. And there's a lot of people that think that way. Oh, God will accept me the way I am. He only accepts you the way you are if you're coming unto him with a repentant heart. And I say that, you might say, well, Minister Adam, that's kind of harsh. No, it's not harsh. And I have to wait. I have to watch my wording. I don't mean that he won't accept you. That's not what I mean. He will accept you the way you are if you're coming to him with a repentant heart, wanting to get rid of the sin that you're in. But what I mean by he's not going to accept just anything, He does accept you the way you are if you're coming to him with a repentant heart wanting to change your life, but he will not accept because he is holy. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. Holiness. He called us unto holiness. He called us unto righteousness. Look, I'm going to show you. Man, 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to show you. He does not accept us. He does not accept our actions just to be doing just anything. He will not accept just anything. There's a whole lot of churchgoers that are just giving God just anything. He does not accept it that way. Why? He gave a specific difference. He said, holiness. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now watch this. In 1 Peter, the reason why there's an explicit difference is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm going to read it to you. But ye are a chosen generation. And this is the explicit difference right here. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. This is a specific difference, a explicit difference. You have to be changed. He will not just accept. if he kicked the devil out of heaven, if he kicked three people out of his presence. He kicked three people. He kicked, and this was symbolic. If he kicked the devil out of his presence for sin, if he kicked Adam and Eve out of his presence because of sin, what makes you think that he won't do that to us? If we got sin on us, he just said we have to be holy. And when he talked about be holy for I am holy, he said it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament is Christ concealed. In the New Testament is Christ revealed. You got to be holy. In the book of Hebrews, it says, holiness without which I'm gonna say the whole verse. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's exactly what it says. You have to take on the Spirit of God. You have to have his Spirit. The Bible says, I'm about to break it down. This is still in the coming of the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. John chapter 3. Let's go there real quick, because I'm going to show you. I'm not going to give you something that ain't in the Word of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, real quick. And then I heard Bishop Carver on here. Amen. I'm going to let Bishop Carver and whoever else is on here give a comment real quick before we wrap up here. St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to show you. He does not accept just anything. Okay? Let's read it. There's some people, and I'm about to break, like I said last week, God is pulling back the curtain. God is still pulling back the curtain on Satan's devices. Because there's some preachers that will tell you that you don't need to be baptized at all. There's some people that say that you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name to receive his Spirit. You don't need to be baptized at all to get into heaven. The devil is a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. A preacher tell you that, they lying. Because it says it right here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting at verse number 3. I'm going to read it to you. John chapter 3, starting at verse number 3, it says, and Jesus, this is Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Which means, how can I be born again and I'm a grown man? He entered the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's the question he asked Jesus. Can I go into my mother's womb as a grown man and be born again? That's not what Jesus was talking about. The reason why he said born again is because you've had your natural birth. Now you must take on your spiritual birth. Watch this. In verse number 5, he said, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit, of the Spirit is spirit. Now, you got to, what is the Spirit and the water for? This is still the coming of the Lord. We're still talking about the coming of the Lord because it's getting us ready. We're still getting ready for the coming of the Lord. This gets us ready. You must, the death, burial, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Repentance is your spiritual death. Being going down in the water is symbolic of your spiritual burial. Repentance is symbolic of your spiritual death. Being baptized in water is symbolic of your spiritual burial. Coming up, speaking in tongues, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance is symbolic that you have new life. That the old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. The old man is dead. Your old carnal nature is dead. Now you are in a holy nature. This is why God gave a specific difference. This is why God gave a specific difference. This is why we need. Now watch this. He said that if you don't have the water in the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You don't have the Spirit. It says you don't have the water. And it says, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now watch this. What is the Spirit? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Come on. That we're getting ready for the rapture of the church. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, he went to prepare a place for you that where he is, he might be also. He's not going to take in captivity who is not his. That would be, if you ain't ready for the rapture, if you are not ready for the rapture and the Lord takes you, you would be in spiritual captivity because he's stealing something that ain't his. You might say, Brother Adam, what are you talking about? He's stealing something that ain't his. If you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. He's stealing something that's not his. If he takes a person that does not have his Spirit, you can call the Lord a thief. You can call the Lord a thief, and the Lord ain't no thief. You chose, when a person chooses not to accept the call of God, when a person chooses not to accept salvation, they're saying, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't need you. I don't want you. That's what you're spiritually, that's what your actions are telling the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what your actions are doing. He does not just go by lip service. He goes by your actions. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Scientifically, science states with every action, there's a reaction. Your actions tell God to, your actions let God know what reaction to take towards you. Your actions tells God what reaction to take towards you. If you don't want to go, your actions tell God, I don't want to go. If you choose to live in the world, if you choose to do the world's thing, because the Bible says be separate from the world. If you choose not to be separate from the world, this is why we can't profane the gospel. Come on here. Bishop Carver, I don't know if he's still on here or not.
Yes, man of God. Minister Tuggle, are you there,
Amen.
Man of God?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it really blessed me that you were pointing out to people that we are to be longing for the rapture. There is a crown of righteousness for those who look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason it's called a crown of righteousness is because if you are looking forward to the return of Christ, you live as if Jesus Christ could be coming back at any moment. And that's because Jesus Christ can be coming back at any moment. And so when he returns, we want to be found either doing his work, we want to be found hot, or we want to be found at rest. And those are the two things, either cold or hot. We're either at rest or at work for the Lord. And when and that's even in our jobs. We work hardly as unto the Lord, getting glory for God. So that all that we do is ministry. Our life is ministry. We are living epistles, right? And everything that you really hit on today that you may not even realize you hit on is the church has had this pagan stranglehold around it where it has embraced pagan ideology that suggests that when people die, they go to heaven or hell. And it's just not true. It's a lie from the devil. That's why what it says here in what you were reading in 1 Thessalonians 4 was talking about the dead in Christ rising first, and then those of us who are alive being changed in the twinkling of an eye, because we're all going to be gathered together. We're all going to meet him at the same time. That's why it says that we are resting in peace. We are resting in Christ, and we are dead. And you have to understand that when you took your first breath was the beginning of your conscious life and your soul life. And when you took your last breath, that was the end of your soul life, of your conscious life, until Jesus Christ returns and the dead in Christ rise first. Now, all that they teach in Greek mythology and all that other nonsense is getting people to worship their dead ancestors and live as if we're living in front of all of these dead people. And we're not. It's an evil lie. So I think the beauty of how God has designed this is that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then those which are alive are going to be changed, and we're all going to be the same thing when we meet him together in the air at the trump of the Lord when our Lord and Savior returns. So I want to leave you with this one scripture. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be looking for, right? And then what you were reading earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 18, it said, wherefore comfort one another with these words, with the words that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, comfort one another with these words. Don't you know I preached a funeral at Crown Hill, and I taught this. I shared this, 1 Thessalonians 4, and while I was teaching, everybody received it, and they heard it, and everybody was who knew the word, they were shaking their head, and they understood, right? But then this guy got up behind me and talked about how the guy that was dead was up in heaven looking up on them and having a party, and everybody was shouting and clapping and all that nonsense, right? Now, here's the thing. When the word tells you comfort one another with these words, and then somebody gets up and plays on your emotions and tells you something other than what these words are, then we got to get things straight. We got to renew our mind to the word. I want to ease your pain in a time of loss as much as anybody else. But you're not going to do that by lying to people and telling them that their dead relatives are in heaven looking down at them or in hell looking up at them when they're in the grave. Until the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or until that great white throne of judgment, whichever one they're going to be a part of, right? The thing is, we want to know what we're talking about, and we want to share with people the truth so that we're not leading people or misleading people in the guise of comforting them, because a lie never comforts. Remember, the one who has the authority, who is the originator, who is the creator of the lie, father of lies, is the devil. So when you share with him in that lie, you're not doing God's work. And when the word of God says comfort one another with these words, we want to be in obedience. God humbled himself to his own words and said, I magnified my word above my own name. God said, I cannot transgress my own word. I will do everything that I have said, and I can't go beyond or beneath what I said. Now, if God humbled himself, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere, and all of a sudden we dare to touch that word, we're in trouble. So I just want to thank you, man of God, for sharing the word of God, for not hesitating to tell people the truth, and encouraging them to study for themselves, because, you know, we can say things all day and all night, but if it's not in the word of God, it's not true. So I thank you for directing them to the scripture so that they can go through the truth for themselves and they can make up their own mind. Thank you, man of God.
Yes, sir. I thank God in these last few minutes that I have. I thank God for each and every person that tuned in today. Thank you, Bishop Carver. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for allowing me to come and to teach this lesson again on this wonderful Saturday here in Indianapolis. Hey, man, it's a little chilly, but it's still nice outside. but I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for I thank the Lord most of all for allowing giving me the opportunity to come and teach the Word of God, because I do count it an honor and a privilege just to come and to talk about the Word of God. I believe that what Bishop Carver was saying, our life is supposed to be based around the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to live for him. When we go, wherever place that we go, we are to live for him. We are to be living epistles, as the Bible says. And in Colossians 3:17, and I quote that scripture a lot, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This means your life. This means your jobs. This means riding down the street in your car. This means going to the grocery store. We got to do it for the Lord. Amen. You might say, well, going to the grocery store for the Lord, what? How do I be living right? Living right in front of people. Letting the light of Christ shine out of you. Not letting them see you, but letting them see God, the God in you, in Jesus' name. I pray that you have been blessed by this. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way, to see the Lord's face in peace, other than live right. But this is the only way to receive his Spirit, in Jesus' name, as it states in Acts 2:38. Be blessed. This is we are living in the last days, like I said, living in the last days, and the Lord is soon to come. So we have to live right so we can see him, and not only see him, but see our relatives again. I mean, I wanna see my relatives again, but I really am there to see the man who died for me, the man who set me free, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed rest of your weekend. Have a very blessed week. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where it is our blessed hope that you be transformed in Jesus' name.